Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and what's next. It's a show that asks questions and peels back the layers of our average everyday experience and goes beyond scratching the surface. We interview people doing incredible things who are making a difference around the globe. Join me as we listen in and get one step closer to understanding that big ideas shared create collaboration. Collaboration can inspire community, and communities create social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face.
Delightful guest, Ngozi Paul. Her new play, The Emancipation of Miss Lovely, is playing at Crow's Theater in Toronto. Starts actually March 28th, runs through April the 8th. Keep your eye out for it. Now Magazine has called it a powerful and important solo play. Ngozi and I talk about a whole lot of things. It's a short interview, but we get into quite a bit. We talk about why the play is so funny, hilarious, in fact, and yet still so meaningful and thoughtful. We talk about the colonialist gaze. We talk about othering and Western contexts and objectification of women. And Sarah Bartman, who I knew virtually nothing about until a few days ago when I started doing some research about her. So you're going to want to dig a little bit deeper. We talk about standards of beauty and climates of change and why according to Desmond Tutu we no longer have any excuses. So stay tuned. Coming right up. And don't forget davidpecklive.com for more information about my podcasting and public speaking. And you can support us through patreon.com if you so desire to keep us up and running here at Face to Face. Don't forget rabble.ca for more interviews there and other podcasts as well. And right now, coming your way here and in person, Ngozi Paul talking about a whole lot of things and her new play, The Emancipation of Ms. Lovely.
Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by a very special guest today who apparently, I think, is on the road, actually. Ngozi Paul is here with us today to talk about her new production that she's working on. And it starts tonight, I believe, at the Crow's Theater here in Toronto. Ngozi, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Tonight is our first preview.
That's what I thought, and you're playing through. It's the Emancipation of Ms. Lovely. So I'm really looking forward to talking not only about the production. I'm really interested to hear a little bit more from you about, you know, why you're involved and why it's important and so on. But let's right out of the gate, March 28th to April the 8th. It's playing at the Crow's Theater in Toronto. That's crowstheater.com. So this is a play that you won a Spotlight Award for in 2015 at SummerWorks. This is a play that's been pretty well received critically from what I found online. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, the story and your involvement.
So The Emancipation of Miss Lovely is a play that I wrote, and I've been working on the play itself for actually a few years now. We did it a couple of years ago at the SummerWorks Festival, and Debbie Young was my director, and Debbie Young founded a theater called Watts Theater, where she works with artists and to create. What she does is she helps people create new pieces of work, And I went through the program. I went through the program with her, and she directed it when we did it at SummerWorks. It's based on a woman's self-discovery of her own sexuality and her own sexual agency, and it is intertwined with the story of Sarah Bartman.
So it's it sounds pretty interesting, pretty complex actually. Who's Ms. Lovely?
It is. I always discover in doing it that it is indeed a complex piece. So Lovely we meet Lovely at different stages in her life. When she's a little girl, we meet her when she is a teenager and a young adult and into adulthood. She is a Caribbean, first-generation Canadian from Caribbean parents, and she's trying to make sense of the way that she is seen in the world as a young Black woman.
So I'm going to just read a quick quote here. Quote, in this hilarious and evocative tale, we meet Lovely at different stages in her life as she struggles with her understanding of herself as a Black woman and awakens to her sexual identity as mirrored through popular culture, close quote. That's right off the Crow's Theater site about the play. It doesn't really sound all that hilarious to me. tell me more. Like, it sounds
laugh
like...
Laugh or cry.
Well, that's...
Laugh or cry.
Well, and isn't that the beauty of theater, too, to some degree, right? I mean, isn't that how you sort of, you draw people in and then you sort of do a 180-degree turn on them, and it's a real...
It's funny because, I mean, it's written with a tremendous amount of levity and irony. I mean, if you know, growing up today and, you know, growing up in the 80s, you, like, popular culture and the images that are out there, when you shine a specific kind of, I feel like, critical light or satirical light on them, it's pretty funny stuff.
Right.
The way that we're seen, you know, the way that we interact with each other. You know, if you ask a lot of women in Toronto what dating is like, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of funny stories in there.
Oh, I bet there is.
So it's funny that I always say hilarious, you know, first. It's one of the first things that we say because the subject matter is so serious.
Right. Well, exactly.
You'll get the impression that oh gosh, it's going to be pretty heavy. And there certainly are moments of you know, depth and introspection but we serve up, you know, what do they say? A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down?
Right, right.
Yeah, so the idea is to try and serve it up in a way that is really relatable and super accessible.
Well, and you want, and don't you, you know, no matter how serious this is, no matter how deep it goes, and clearly it does, you do want people to also enjoy themselves. I mean, this is,
oh, yeah.
By the sounds of it, you're an entertainer. You're an entertainer. You're an artist.
Yes.
You want people to applaud and to stand and to laugh and to cry. But you're hoping that they're going to be talking about this as well for the next couple of days, plant some seeds, no doubt.
Absolutely, that's exactly right.
So would you say this is Ngozi? Is this more historical or is it more autobiographical? What would you say to that?
Well, it isn't actually autobiographical. It is the culmination of you know, stories and experiences and observations.
Mm.
There are certainly autobiographical elements in it.
Yep.
Because I'm a first generation Canadian and I was raised in a West Indian household and in a religious West Indian household, just like Lovely. But it's pieced together. The stories and the coming of age stories are pieced together from stories that I've heard, some that I've experienced, some that I've observed, And that has sort of shaped Lovely's narrative. And then for Sarah Bartman, she is a historical figure, mm-hmm. Who was not the only, but, you know, one of several women from Africa who were inhuman zoos in the early 19th century because of the shape of their body. With Sarah's story, it is historical, and I did a lot of research on Sarah. I traveled to South Africa several times, and even went to her final resting place on the Eastern Cape of South Africa, and studied with elders in South Africa as well in terms of some of the music and sound and the detail in relationship to her story.
So when you do a very quick read of who Sarah Bartman was, fascinating a woman, fascinating story, tragic story as well. Can you kind of provide a little bit of context about her and how it kind of connects more directly to Lovely and your story?
Yeah, so Sarah Bartman was a Khoisan woman who was, and the debate still exists as to whether she was invited, if she knew what she was invited to do, but she was certainly one of the more popular women of that time who was put in human zoos, and it was when what they would call, what they would call people like freaks of nature, a woman with a beard,
like sideshows, circus sideshows.
Yes.
Right.
Circus sideshows. And she was there because of the shape of her bottom as well as the shape of her vulva. Because she had a big bump. And upon her death, she only lived for 5 years in Europe.
Wow.
That's both in London and France. Upon her death, she was actually dissected by a doctor named Cuvier, who called himself a naturalist scientist, and put on display her skeleton and her organs were actually put on display in the Museum of Natural History.
Wow.
In France, and her bones stayed there for nearly 200 years until the end of apartheid, and Nelson Mandela requested that she was returned back home. And actually, when she first requested, the French government refused.
Wow, because this was sort of part of their history or something.
I guess I part of their history, and then I always like to say, well, because I feel like if they said yes to that, then it would be real open a can of worms, because when you go to the Louvre, and you go,
of course,
then there are lots of quote unquote artifacts that just were things that got listed
from
all across the continent and all across the world. And when people start asking for their things back, I guess you can't just start giving them back, because then we got dominoes real necessity to look at the way.
Well, and it's almost it would almost be too, maybe in a way, kind of admitting to I don't know, sexism, racism, objectification of women. I mean, right? It just sort of opens up the door to some pretty serious ethical concerns.
Right. They eventually did have her body returned, and she is buried in the place of her birth in the Eastern Cape.
So for you, does her life then is her life a metaphor for sort of everything that was wrong during that time, from a social and an economic and even maybe a scientific perspective? Is that kind of what you're why you're drawing from her life and from her story?
Well, for two reasons. One, I had only very vaguely heard of her story.
Right.
And when I started, and then I started working on this play when I was in South Africa, and I was quite horrified
I
when
bet.
I started to research her story. But also, you know, we're born into this world. We're born into a Western context as a Black woman. We see ourselves through a certain lens. There's a lot of othering right off the bat.
Mm.
You know, like where I always, you know, I remember I had a friend of mine where there was like two magazines. There was a Vogue magazine and an Essence magazine, right? And I was like, what's this? This is the Vogue. It's a magazine. What's this? The Essence. It's a Black magazine. Why is it a Black magazine? Mm. And Vogue is just a magazine. And that's the way, that's the lens through which we see the world.
Sure. Yep.
And so for you,
the mere division itself is problematic. Some people would say, oh, wow, we've got a magazine for Black women. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that marvelous? This is about equality. Mm-hmm. But you're actually saying, hang on, let's take a step back and go, why do we have the division in the first place?
Well, yeah, and also, how does that division work?
Right.
Where this one thing is the standard.
Right.
And this other thing is other.
Right. Right.
You know, even the world is pretty bananas these days. Even if we look at, you know, obviously what's happening in the United States, popular culture. This is the standard of beauty. It is this, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, this particular type of body, this particular type of body shape. We're still born into that. You know, things are changing, I used to always make the analogy with the color nude.
Right.
That's in your crayon. And it's pink. That's nude skin tone.
Right.
Or nude pantyhose.
Right, right.
So it's she and Sarah and her story for me is a great example of the personification of the colonialist gaze and colonialist separation and how these things continue to perpetuate themselves even in the modern day.
So Ngozi, would you say there's kind of a female gaze, there's a male gaze, but there's also kind of a higher level, whatever you want to call it, overarching colonialist gaze as well, Western colonialist gaze?
I think so. And I think that I myself am so immersed in it that we're born into it. Some of the things I even think about is the fact that I speak English. Obviously, I come from African descent. My parents also speak English. Which is the language of the colonialists and the people who were actually involved in slave trade and actually taking over the land in Africa. And this is how we live. Here we are in 2017.
Sure.
But I think it's worth considering or just remembering.
I think you're right about that. I mean, so what you want me to do as a viewer or as a, you know, reflecting on your work is to say, how did we wind up here? What lenses am I wearing and how are mm-hmm. they impacting the way I see you, the way I see others, the way, you know, the way I see the world?
Yes, yes. And by asking those questions, the hope is to feel a sense of emancipation, freedom, or just a shift
right.
in awareness that there is a myriad of other different options and different ways in which to see. And you can go back and forth, but just the awareness, like to, you know, to just turn the gaze around a little bit, and in terms of the sexuality and these are also universal themes as well.
Sure, of course.
Is to remove some of the shame that we inherently live with, just because of maybe a lack of knowledge, a lack of discussion. You know, so we internalize these things, and by maybe flipping the gaze, we can release ourselves from some of these. Limitations, I feel,
nice.
that that this particular very narrow way of seeing things and dividing people has caused us.
So we've got to wrap up here in a couple of minutes. You know,
okay.
I'm loving chatting with you. You sound so positive. You sound so hopeful. You sound like that we are turning corners. You know, you referred to this, you know, I don't think it was a crazy world, but something like that a few minutes ago. Is that a fair assessment of you? You do believe things are getting better? We are on our way forward or maybe not?
I do believe that things are getting better because I think that they have to.
Right. Nice.
It's like, otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, otherwise, in deep trouble.
Otherwise, what's the point? And politically, socially, the situation that we see ourselves in right now, like, I this whole, you know, he who shall not be named, Donald Trump, the president of the United States of America, it's really terrifying stuff. And I feel more than ever now, maybe because it's been unearthed or the veil has been lifted to a certain extent. But I read a quote the other day that, you know, where Desmond Tutu was talking about climate change. And he said, you know, 25 years ago, we had an excuse. But now it's to say that I didn't know.
Right.
But now there are no excuses. And I think that's how I feel for myself, is that, you know, we're out of time, we're out of excuses, in terms of evolving so that we can continue to be in better places. It's really, really up to us to challenge and to evolve the way that we see things and what our values are. Like, I think we're coming to the end of a specific type of cycle. And in order to make a new cycle, we have to challenge the way that we see all of this.
It's great. Why don't we just spend the last minute or so talking about the production itself? So Crow's Theater in Toronto starts tonight. You must be pretty pumped, pretty excited. It runs through
super excited.
Yeah, I bet you are. Runs through April the 8th.
Yes. Yeah, we're at Crow's Theater, which is at 345 Carla Avenue, right at Yonge and Dundas in the East End. It's a really beautiful new theater. We start our previews today, March 28th. We open on March 30th, and we run till April 8th. It's a little intimate. We have a few shows that are sold out already, but
nice.
I'm really excited to share this with the community and for us to come together and have fun. And because the times are so tumultuous, people are kind of like, what's going on? What can I do? I'm like, come see this play. Come see this play and let's share. And we have talkbacks after all of the shows.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. And yeah, so the talkback is actually a part of the offering is we sit down and we have a conversation. So I'd like to invite everybody to see The Emancipation of Ms. Lovely. And yeah, I know we did talk about some heavy stuff, but I promise we make lots of jokes.
You can't go wrong with hilarious, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I hope we're going to get to do a part two. I really feel like we've barely scratched the surface here, and I wish you so well. Congratulations on the play. Now Magazine has called this a powerful and important solo play, and I think they are probably right, and I haven't even seen it yet. So there you go.
You're invited.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time today. Ngozi Paul is with us here talking today about The Emancipation of Ms. Lovely, playing at Crow's Theater. Opens tonight right through April the 8th. You can also find out more about her at ngozipaul.com. Thanks so much for your time today. Hey, listen, are you going anywhere else after Crow's Theater? Have you got what's next?
Oh, what's next for us? Well, what's next for me is somewhere where the water is blue.
Okay.
and I can get in there. But for Emancipation,
yeah.
We plan on taking it to the United States and
nice.
South Africa.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations and thanks again for your time today, Ngozi.
Thank you.